of your door.
See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
wherever you are, talk to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Romans 12 verse 11. Thank you, Jesus. This is the season of change. We have entered a part of this year that I don't want you to take carelessly. Fight. Are you with me? Fight, because change has started. Levels are changing. Are you with me? Promotion is happening. Doors are opening. I thought I would hear a louder amen. Amen. Opportunities are coming to you. In the name of Jesus. All kinds of opportunities, they are coming to you. Doors of favor are open for you. Doors of favor are open for you. If there has been a long-standing issue in your life, this is the season of change. It's a season of change. It's a season of change. You step into it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You know, in John chapter 5, the Bible says an angel came at a certain season and stirred the water. We have entered that season where the water is stirred. The water is stirred. You know, somebody was bothered. He said, all the debates going on online, doctrinal debates, what do you think? I said, I will tell you as a prophet, and I will tell you as a teacher. As a prophet, I know that when those things arise, it is because God is doing something bigger and the devil is trying to distract the people of God. And so he will raise up unnecessary dust. But as a teacher, I also know that the devil will also want to get some fruit with the dust by leading many people astray. That's why we will talk. But we know what is happening in the spirit on a deeper level. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Let's read Romans 12 from verse 11 in the Amplified Classic. 1, 2, 3, go. Never lack in zeal and is and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and born with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Let's take it again. Never lack in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow. Say after me, aglow. Aglow. I can hear your voices. Say after me, aglow. Aglow. And burning in the Spirit, serving the Lord. So what is God's plan for us? To always be aglow. Is it possible? Yes. You can always be aglow. Can you tell anybody you can always be aglow? Are you with me? Yes, sir. It says, be aglow. Burning in the Spirit. Glowing. You can always be glowing in the Spirit. No matter what is happening. Ups or downs. Irrespective. You can be aglow. Regardless of what is happening in the country, you can be aglow. Regardless of how the devil is trying to play on your emotions, you can be aglow. Are you with me? Regardless of what is happening in your body, you can be aglow. Regardless of what the devil is doing, you can be aglow. Are you with me? He says, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. And one of the ways to be aglow is to be full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. I think the church has not taught this enough. I don't think I've taught it enough. Because there is a clear biblical instruction that we should be ever filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 from verse 16 to 21. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Okay, you can stick with the Amplified Classic. You can stick with it. So, everyone, read on with me. Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled. Do you see that? Say after me, ever be filled. Say it again, ever be filled. And stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Verse 19. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all your hearts to the Lord. Glory! So, I would have gone to the end, but let's stop there. We'll come back to it. Look at verse 18. Go back to that verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, or Amplified says, that is debauchery. But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. This is one of the texts of the Bible people used to claim that a Christian can drink alcohol, but should not become drunk. Have you heard that argument before? But you see, the argument here or the presentation here, he's not telling you that you should drink and don't become drunk. What he's telling you is that the same way a person can get drunk with wine, that is how you should get drunk with the Spirit. I don't want to even go into that argument. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you something. You know, there's what the Bible prescribes and what the Bible describes. When we say the Bible prescribes something, meaning it is telling you what to do. But when the Bible describes something, it is talking about something that happened. Are you with me? You can know the biblical position on a thing with the way it describes a thing. Sometimes it does not clearly prescribe a thing, so you will not see anywhere in the Bible that says drinking is a sin. Are you with me? There's no way the Bible actually says that drinking alcohol is a sin. But if you check the way the Bible describes intoxicating drinks, you will know that it is something to be careful about. Proverbs 20 verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And anyone who is deceived thereby is not wise. You will see that text and still say, don't worry. I can. Are you with me? Proverbs 20 verse 1. It says, wine is a mocker. Are you with me? In fact, there are 74 texts in the entire Bible describing wine. Only two look like it's good. You will see in the book of Proverbs, if you go to, I think, chapter 30 or 31, it says, oh, my son, Lumwell, it is not good for kings to drink wine, lest they pervert judgment. He said, give wine to him who wants to be destroyed. That's what the Bible said. It says, Lumwell, oh King Lumwell, it's not good. And then somebody who is a king and priest is shouting. Are you with me? Maybe next month when we're talking about consecration, we'll start talking about some of those things. There are certain things that they can be permitted at a certain level. You are still a child. As you begin to grow, your consecration begins to grow. Are you with me? Look at it. Proverbs 31 verse 4. It is not for kings. Oh, Lumwell. It is not for kings to drink wine. Now, you will say, is he saying that we cannot drink any wine? He clarifies. Verse 4. Still stay in verse 4. Or for rulers to desire strong drink. Are you with me? Also, another thing that got me thinking when I think about this whole thing. Do you realize, I've taught this before, I think I was in Port Harcourt Church. Do you realize that there were two people that were filled with the Holy Spirit from the mother's womb in the Old Testament and the New Testament? What were their names? In the Old Testament, who was filled with the Holy Spirit or had the Holy Ghost before he was born? Samson. In the New Testament, who was filled with the Holy Ghost before he was born? John.
Do you realize that when the angel of God came to their mothers, one of the instructions that was given to them is, you will not take wine, both you and the child. You will not take strong drink. What is it about strong drink that God is jealous about? It seems to me that God is jealous about the very thing that can compete with his own intoxicating power. So he wants you to be intoxicated, but not with wine, but with his spirit. Yes, sir. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm doing to you? We are doing what you can call Bible sense. You are reasoning through the Bible. Not that you are changing the Bible, but you are just trying to understand, how does the Bible think? There is a way the Bible thinks. There is a way the Bible reasons. Are you with me? Think that's something to take very seriously. The angel of the Lord told the mother of Samson, he shall be a servant of God and he will not take wine. The angel of the Lord told the mother of John, he will not take wine. That means God is jealous about his intoxicating power. In fact, anything that seems to make a replica of his intoxicating power, he's careful about it. Sometimes it's not even wine. that matter is a deeper matter in consecration. Sometimes it may not be what is in the bottle. It may be what is in the TV. When you are so carried away, Korean movie. Ah, you, it's like when they're talking about Korean movie, your blood. Oh, you are the way the passion within your spirit is as if you are getting intoxicated. Who knows those days? Pragya. Somebody, pastor, just shoot us. Break the table. When you are in that place, God say, I'm jealous. So. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, do not get drunk with wine, which for that is debauchery, but ever be filled. Say after me, ever be filled. So God's plan for you is to ever be filled with the Spirit, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Ever be filled. Now, but someone may say, when I spoke in tongues, was I not filled with the Spirit? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. I thought that was all. No, that's the first step. Speaking in tongues is one of the first signs that a person is full of the Spirit. But that's not where he stops. He must make continuous efforts to always be full. You must make continuous efforts to always be full. Because you see, if you drink and get drunk today, do you know that after 7 days, you will not be drunk again? 7 days is even too long. If you are drunk today, in 48 hours, you are no longer drunk. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? There may be traces of alcohol in your system, but you are not intoxicated by it anymore. If you remain drunk, you have to keep on drinking. Are you with me? So, if you remain full of the Spirit, you have to keep on drinking. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And by one Spirit have we all been made to drink. Look at it. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Are you with me? Glory. So, you being baptized into Christ is just part of it. It's the first step of it. But he wants you to drink also. Tell your neighbor, drink. Get intoxicated with this thing. Let me tell you something, eh? As I read history, the more I read history and just think about the church, think about the move of God, I realize that,
we have a lot of work. This generation, the work we have to do is so much. First of all, do you know that the average churchgoer in this generation does not know what it looks like to be full of the Spirit? He has not seen it so much. We have a lot of work to do. What kind of prayer and how were the apostles praying that the people around them accused them of being drunk? Please, are you following me? How, what kind of atmosphere did the people that came around see for them to say they are drunk? Maybe this one that we are too normal. It may mean that it may look, it may be because we are abnormal. When growing up in my Christian faith, I saw some things. There were times we left church. People were staggering from church. I'm telling you. When I was scriptural union president in my secondary school, there were services I held. I said, people, we prayed and worshiped. People were drunk in the Holy Spirit. Eh? We were carrying ourselves like this. Come, let me show you how we are going home. I'm not making it up. If some of my classmates can remember, Mr. Mark, come. Let me show you how many of us were going home. When we close meeting, we are going home like this. Like this. You may please be seated. So, this one that we have been, how people have been going to church for years, they come back, look normal, see that. Sit down, just be the going around, and their neighbors did not say, you drink. Please, are you following me? Yes, read history. You will read some things in history. You'll be wondering, what are we even doing? I was reading about this Jonathan Edwards. They said he could not see well, but he was full of the Spirit. Sometimes he will come to church. He will just stand like this. And those days, preachers don't move when they are preaching. So he will stand and be reading. And while he's reading the Bible, people cannot stand up. You will stand up, you will fall. You will stand up, you will fall. Sometimes, before they give the altar call, people have come out. They said, I took liquor. I took cigarettes. I took... That's the kind of church. Are you with me? Yes, sir. That's the kind of church. And we are here arguing. Should we pray in tongues? Should we not pray? Is this generation was asking, is kissing the relationship a sin? What if we kiss? I think my generation was some of the last that saw some things. We saw so this. Our fathers, that's why they are shouting. There is something they saw. Are you with me? Check almost all the fathers of faith. They will tell you how they went to Tulsa, Oklahoma to meet Kenny Hagin, to see the way what was happening there. Bishop Pastor Adeboye, Bishop Edipo, they will tell you that they all went. Adeboye said he went to Oklahoma. And I think 1977, Pastor Bishop Oyedepo went 1987. They were all going to see. Don't worry, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Amen. Some of the biblical interpretations that we are fighting for now, if you said those things, you know, Pastor Poju said something. He said, some of these people are saying, and going scot-free. If you said those things in the 80s, the Christians will stone you. If you just said those, they'll just carry on and stone you like this. Are you with me? It's in our generation, someone is saying, it's Peter that killed Ananias and Sapphira. From where? How? Praise the Lord.
So maybe we have just been too normal. Are you with me?
Yes,
maybe we have been too normal. Maybe we have been too cold. Maybe. Maybe we have been too usual. Are you with me? So what does it mean to be full of the Spirit? It means to live in the overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. To be intoxicated with the overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Every born-again Christian has the Holy Spirit living inside him, but not everyone is full of the Spirit. Not everyone is full of the Spirit. Every Christian has the Spirit, but not everyone is full of the Spirit. To be full of the Spirit is to live in the intoxicating, overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. So, quickly, why must you be full of the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the same thing. Are you with me? You know, somebody said, Holy Spirit is American. Holy Ghost is African. Why must you be full of the Holy Ghost? Number one, I don't know how you're going to write this, but see, new breed, I hope you're able to write. No, please, those of you who are videoing, please video, please don't stop. But our people that write, make sure you write. Amen. It's part of your service. Hey, those of us, I know, some of you know that we have a service unit called content creation. Please make your content. We need your content. Make it in Jesus' name. But if you're not in that team, right. So let me read it like this. Your new nature is the result of the oneness that your spirit has with the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Your new nature in Christ is the result of the oneness your spirit has with the Holy Spirit. So, until you are full of the Holy Ghost, please, are you with me? Are you with me? The realities of that new nature will never manifest. Let me say it again. Your new nature in Christ is the result of the oneness that your spirit has with the Holy Spirit. That means until you are full of the Holy Spirit, the realities of your new nature in Christ will never manifest. Have you ever asked yourself, how come some people are born again? You know this person is born again. You know this person goes to church. You know this person actually believes. Sometimes, you know they even speak in tongues. But when you look at their lives, they are acting contrary to everything their convictions or what they claim to have as convictions stand for. One of the major problems is that they have never been filled with the Spirit. Are you with me?
Yes,
or they were filled and stopped being filled at some point. So they have the presence of the Holy Spirit, but they are not living in his overwhelming presence. They are not intoxicated by him. See, when you continuously live in that intoxicating presence of the Holy Spirit, many things will die a natural death. And many new things will begin in natural life. They will begin to grow in your life. Let me tell you something. If you can keep a grudge and hold malice in your heart for 7 days, you're not full of the Spirit. I'm telling you. Do you know what is called? Have you put a very hot liquid in a bottle and the bottle broke? Have you poured hot water in a plastic bottle and it could not contain it? It just either it squeezed or it tore. You can relate to what I'm saying, right? That's what the old saints called brokenness.
The old saints believed that if the Holy Spirit is in you over a long period of time, it will begin to break your normal frame. It will. Are you with me? Your normal character, your normal propensities, it will break it. So when you discuss with them, you hear them say things like, that guy is not broken. Some old disciples of Billy Akane can relate to what I'm saying. Papa Billy Akane said the Holy Ghost has not broken him yet. That's why he's talking like that. Are you with me? He has not been broken yet. When the Holy Ghost, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, it will crack that character. That attitude will break. Are you with me? That lifestyle will break. Because there are some wines that are called strong drink. Are you with me? That when you take it to that, then how can you take the Holy Ghost and still be normal? Hey. Are you with me? There is no drink stronger than the holy drink. Yes, sir. Called the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? People will take strong drink and they cannot walk normally again. They are seeing strange things. When you start taking of this Holy Ghost called the Holy Drink, you will be seeing possibilities where others say impossible. Are you with me? Some of our fathers of faith, they were things they said, sir, can you build? How can you do this building? It's almost too much. We will complete it in 2 months, sir. We don't have the money. That person that is talking is not normal. He has drank something that is making him say nonsense to the natural mind.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you with me? Until you get full of the Holy Spirit, the real possibilities of who you are in Christ will not manifest. Look at the apostles. Until they were full of the Holy Spirit, they were running away. By the time they got full of the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, they were the one now preaching boldly. They will beat them, they will go back. They will beat them, they will go back. Are you following me? Say after me, full of the Spirit. Say it again, full of the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8 from verse 1. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Glory! Say it again, there is therefore now no condemnation. He says, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what is he trying to tell you? He's telling you that the natural operation of those who are in Christ is that they don't walk after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. Do you know this thing in chemistry? They say these laws work, all things being equal.
Yes, sir.
Being full of the Spirit is the condition that makes all things equal. The laws of the Spirit, the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen as long as you are full of the Spirit. Are you with me? In chemistry, they call it ideal gas condition. They say Charles Law, Boyle's Law. It will work as long as it's an ideal gas condition. And so, it is true that if any man is in Christ, there is no condemnation to him. As long as he is walking in the Spirit. Are you with me? If he's not walking in the Spirit, some things will happen and he will be wondering, I thought I am in Christ. So he is having that abnormality because in the realm of the Spirit, he's not taking his normal mode. Am I talking to you? A man was about to make a trip. The more He planned to go on that trip. He was not himself. He was losing his peace. He was not himself. The more he said, I must go, I must go, I must go, he was not himself. He started driving and going. After a while, he felt like something within him was shaking. The more he prayed about it, prayed in tongues about it, he felt, I should not go. He turned back and went home. His other friend said, you are too superstitious, I must go. That one had an accident and died, but he was also a Christian. You see, one, are you with me? Aligned with his mood. Are you with me? He aligned with the natural state of who he is in Christ. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Are you seeing why we should teach this thing? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, look at verse 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Are you seeing this? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, the point I'm bringing out here is, your new nature is the result of the oneness that you have with the Holy Spirit. And until you are full of the Holy Ghost, the realities of that nature will not manifest. Do you get this? So, what are some of these realities? Luke chapter 4 from verse 1. The Bible says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. So, it is when you are full that you will be led. Are you with me? Please, are you with me? There are some people, they have the Holy Spirit, they are born again, but they have not been led by the Spirit. They say, all this one, they are saying, God is leading me, God is leading me. When last did God lead? I don't know how all this leading they are talking about. Maybe you have not been full. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
He says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led. Praise the Lord. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Acts 7, verse 55. This is Stephen now. Everybody read with me. 1, 2, 3, go. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand. So that means you can be a Christian for long. If you have not been full, you may not see. Are you with me? Are we together? And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. When last did you see what normal eyes cannot see? Are you getting me? And saw. The first time I had an open vision, that's when I knew the spirit realm is real, oh. But you see, as long as you are not full of the Spirit, you will not see. And let me tell you the honest truth. Honestly, mind my use of words. I'm not trying to sound mystical or very deep. Their energy levels. So right now, as we are here, do you know that there are particles moving up, moving around everywhere? But right now, you can't see them. You need to take a microscope to see all of those things happening. Do you know that I did engineering, so I can explain this one very well. All these lights that you are seeing here, do you know that it's not steady? It's moving. That's why if you look at lights, they write something like, have you seen some light write 50 hertz, HZ? That thing is called a frequency level. It's telling you that That light you are seeing that is moved, that seems like it's steady, it revolves 50 times in 1 minute. Are you with me? So you have, for you to see it, you have to go into that energy level to see it. Are you getting me? All these lights you are seeing here, they are moving. If you study light and its properties in physics, you understand this. And I can go on to explain light spectrum. Don't mind me. I loved the engineering I did. Don't, that God stole me. Brought me into ministry. Glory. So, right now, there are so many things happening. But until you enter that energy level, you cannot see it. It is the same thing in the spirit. If you don't get full of the spirit, you will not see some things. Not because they are hiding, no, they are there. Have you not seen mad people talking to people and you're wondering who are they talking to? Have you not seen drunkards talking to people and you're wondering? And to the drunkard, he's actually, to him, he's okay. But you see, that drink has carried him somewhere. It has carried him somewhere. Probably a very funny reality. Something fake and confusing. But when you are dealing with the Holy Ghost, are you with me? You now begin to see the real state of things in God's blueprint. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says, Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost and looked steadfastly and saw. Do you realize in the New Testament, nobody tried to teach people how to see a vision? In fact, there is no actual clear-cut teaching in the New Testament on how to be led by the Spirit of God. Do you know why? It was something they stumbled on because they were always getting full of the Spirit. Nobody taught Peter how to see a vision. He was in fasting and prayer when his eyes opened. Are you with me? I remember the last time I was in Abuad. They brought a boy for me to pray for him. And in a flash, I'm talking about within 30 seconds, I was in the spirit and the demon saw that I saw it and hid his face. Hid his face under the boy's throat. Hey! I'm not even sure everybody around there was seeing what was going on. And I was doing something like this. Maybe they thought I was trying to form, oh, this form spiritual, you know, trying to form. When our eyes jammed, I said, out! The boy almost somersaulted. I was just surprised. Before then, I've not seen anything like that before. To be frank, I've not seen anything like that before. Are you with me? Look at Acts 2 verse 4. And the apostles were full of the Spirit and began to speak. So when you're full of the Spirit, you will begin to speak. But let me talk about one quickly. Look at Acts chapter 13 from verse 9. Or let's read from verse... Please, I hope we all understand what I'm saying. Yes, sir. If you are lost, let me see your hand. Let me so that I can explain better. Okay, we are all together, right? Are we together? Yes, Acts chapter 13 from verse 6. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, and when they had gone to the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus. He had a mission to always buy away Jesus. whose name was Bar Jesus. Verse 7. Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus. That's the sermon of his own. False prophets like to attach themselves to power, to manipulate power against the will of God in a territory. That's a sermon of his own.
He was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Everybody, verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. The Bible is deep. I want to ask you, how did he withstand them? The Bible did not say that he told them to go. So that means Paul came and was teaching, but in the spirit, something was happening and he was withstanding them. Have you gone to preach before? And as you are preaching, it's as if you feel it bouncing back to you. And then you are preaching. When it now seems like the preaching is beginning to enter, their phone will just ring. Then you are preaching. When it seems like they are beginning to understand what you are saying, someone just come, I get one gist, I won't tell you. You are preaching. It's as if something is just withstanding. Somehow, the devil is doing things to ensure that the person does not hear with the word of God. The person, you know what? We go talk later, this preaching. Later, come back. And everything is gone. And so that was what was happening. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation. Now, this is a sorcerer, he's a man of the spirit. So he was doing something spiritually to withstand them. But Elymas sorcerer, for so is his name, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Everybody, verse 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, Kai, and said, "Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" Verse 11. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Hey! And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. See evangelism. If you are the deputy, you see that kind of thing, you say, I believe. See, look at it. Verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Do you know what is going on here? Let me tell you. The doctrine of the Lord without being full of the Spirit is incomplete. This is the reason why many times people are talking. The word of God is not entering because their doctrine is not complete. They are talking, but they are not full of the Spirit. Is this important? I don't want to be petty. I would have said something. I want to ask you, was Paul Christ like? No, Paul would have said, "Oh, Elymas, you know I love you." Christ does not give blindness. Thank God the Bible says all scripture is inspired by the Holy Ghost. This documentation, it was the Holy Ghost that ensured that we saw it. Let me tell you something. When you begin to do the work of the Lord for long, you will understand. Some of the people that are arguing online, they've not really done it for long. They've not really gone out to preach the gospel. When you go out to preach the gospel, and I'm not just talking about sharing flyers, when you go to villages to preach, you know what it is to contend for the gospel in a territory. Contend.
There are. Praise the Lord.
Look at this one. Kai. Do you realize that the Bible was careful to note that then Saul being full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Being full of the Holy Ghost. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, even for God to speak, he gave us a protocol first. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit moved. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. If our words will carry power, the Spirit must move. Are you with me? Spirit moved and God spoke. Look at Luke. I like that. Look at Luke. When you are full of the Spirit, you will begin to speak. Look at this one. Luke chapter 1 from verse 39 to 42. The Bible says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, everybody read from verse 41. 1, 2, 3, go. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 42. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. My point here is, when she was filled, she did what? She spake. Now, let me explain something else about this being full of the Spirit. Oh, my God. They will get it. Do you realize that? Go back to verse 40 to 41. The Bible says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, that is the child, the baby in her womb, leaped. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. What else happened? And she spake. Have you ever been in a service where the teaching was going on and somewhere in the teaching is as if something hits you, but then you held yourself back? Let's not be like, I am too, I did do too much. Let's not be like, I am too excited. Has that ever happened to you before? And you just said, But what you would have normally done is that, hey, Jesus!
Yes, sir.
Do you know what you just did? That thing you did, where you said, I will not respond too much, you reduced your infilling. That is why, when I started the ministry, and I said, you know what? I will start training our people to shout glory. What you are doing is you are training yourself to open up to the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
You are training yourself. I don't know who led opening prayer today. That was powerful. But you did something that you know, like, you started, in New Brick Christian community, there is a way we do opening prayer. Before you say anything, before you say you are welcome to service, before you first of all shout, glory! Are you with me? Let's practice. Shout glory!
Glory!
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You see that thing where the word of God hits you, you just stand up. Hey!
Yes, sir.
You are opening your spirit. Okay, what is the blessing of that? What will happen as you progress later with the Lord? You will now discover you have trained your spirit to be stronger than your mind. So God will give you an instruction. You will just move. Some people will be calculating, how will it happen? Where will I get the money from? When will I do this? 10 years have come and gone. But that thing you are doing is an exercise.
Yes, sir.
So what will now happen as the years go by? You will discover that the distance between the visions of God and the manifestation in your life becomes shorter. Because you have been training yourself to respond faster to God. Some of you think Pastor David is just making up the revelation. I first read this thing from the old great man of God, Derek Prince. He said he was 70 years old when he was praying one morning, and he just discovered that his hand went up and he felt like just shouting and jumping. And so he was doing it. And then the Lord said, "Today, I have delivered you from the spirit of stiffness." He was like, "God, what does that mean?" And the Lord Jesus said to him, "Stiffness is that thing that makes the natural man slow in responding to me. They are stiff when it comes to the work of God. When they are stiff when it comes to spiritual things, they are stiff." So he was like, "How do they deal with it?" He said, "By continuous rejoicing and responding to my word." I read that thing in from the book, "They Shall Expel Devils." So when you see someone, shout glory. You hear the word of God, respond. But you will discover that same person responds to other things. So it's not about an issue of lack of interest. There is something about his, that department of him that responds to God has been shut down. Who won the World Cup? Spain, Abby. The way some people were rejoicing. Spain has caused many people pain. Are you with me? Another thing I want to point out from that text is this one. We do it a lot here. Go to, in fact, it's even happening now as we are speaking. Go back to that Luke chapter 1 from verse 40 to 41. And Mary entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass. Everybody read from verse 41. And it came to pass. 1-3, go. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe in her womb leaped. But it happened when she did what? Heard. What sound are you hearing? The sound you are hearing can determine if you will be filled. So that means if you can hear sounds that are carrying the voice of the Spirit, the word of God, it will affect your spirit. Do you know what this means? If you hear the sound of fear, you will be filled with the spirit of fear.
Yes, sir.
And you will begin to speak the words of fear. If are you with me? That's why many of you have noticed, if you put an earpiece to pray with songs, you pray better. Has it happened to you before?
Yes.
You just put a song. Before you know. You know what? That thing, by blocking your ear and waiting out other distractions, you are putting a sound. And then, you begin to feel something rise. Your spirit is reacting to sound, because your spirit can be sound activated. That's what we are seeing here. Even at the rapture, it is sound that will happen. It says the trump of God will blast and the dead in Christ will rise. So now, if the trumpet of God can make dead things rise, you can make sounds and dead things in your life will begin to rise. Are you with me? Jump on your feet. Before we touch keyboard, let's raise some sounds in the spirit. Randa kapa zeko peleketelia, barasa tembalata kabaleta, randege bebelege de peleketelia, mandege pelege sheketelia, manderege de belege sheketelia, rekebe de deke seketelia. I want you to pray. See that sickness broken into pieces. See that limitation broken into pieces.
Radeke pele se teke pelia. Runde gebe satale. Runde gebe leketelia. Ansambranta kambe. Lincoln bele kete pelende gede de pele ketelia. Rando koponzete. Likombre ketelia. Zapaya telia. Runde gebe satale. Shabala takapai leke bendege beleketelia ranta takai ranta kapali lenke beletekelia rundege beleketelia ansembra tatelia jeke rekete zekete lekombeleketelia rata sate lekombra dadadesa leke de belege de desa shege de belege de